Blog Talk Radio.
That's Chuck D, everybody. It's that time. Another time, at least, I can say for us. It's Wednesday, our usual time. That's what I mean when I say that time. Our semi-usual time on a Wednesday when we go live. 8 o'clock. I'm Citizen Payne. If you don't know where you are, this is Kay's Son and Friends, named after Kay Thompson Live. My mom, my late mom up in heaven doing the news, I'm sure. And today is Wednesday, the 22nd of July, 2020, and we are still knee-deep in this pandemic situation. Yesterday, the president decided to start off again with his coronavirus updates. And it was interesting, wasn't it, if you watch it. We've got to be ever vigilant with this individual. Always watching on them. That's why sometimes I label what we do Trump Watch, because we have a criminal in chief occupying the White House. A criminal in chief occupying the White House. A criminal in chief occupying the White House. I'm going to say those things three times so you understand. And just one thing from yesterday I will say, which if you have not moved into the column of not being for supporting this guy anymore. Sidebar, don't know how you could ever have been, but there's potential for growth in everybody. Hope springs eternal. But back to what I was saying, if you have not moved into the column of being a non-supporter of this man, then certainly if the shout out to a woman that is accused of being a sex trafficker, a shout-out to wish her the best, should push you into that column. If it doesn't, then I will humbly suggest that you have some real serious deep soul-searching to do. Above all else, yesterday in that press conference and every other time, this guy is going to think that it is okay to give a shout-out to a accused sex trafficker. And we know that he's a liar. Anybody that can't see that when this man is lying, you're not very good at detecting lies. But it is unbelievable the crimes that this woman has been accused of taking part in, that this man who's holding the highest office in the land can stand up there and say that, and still there is silence from the party that which he's supposed to represent. Still, you have people going to the wire for him, supporting this guy. All I got to do is look at any internet platform, any social internet platform, any even news platform, and the lunacy of hatred is prevalent. I say the lunacy of hatred is prevalent because clearly hatred leads to lunacy, right? Because hey, white supremacy, how's that been working out? It's been working out for you really well, but we ain't going nowhere. So I guess the bottom line is, how do you want to do this? Because no matter how long it takes us, we're not going anywhere. We've been here before Christopher Columbus. All of this whole made-up myth that these people have decided to make up about themselves because there is a deep-seated hatred, a conquering, bloodthirsty trait in some individuals. Yeah, it's unbelievable, but that's where we are. It ain't no different. We've been here before. those of us that can call ourselves baby boomers of the baby boomer generation. If you remember, back in the 60s, I was born in the early part of the 60s, the earliest part, I guess you could say. But I was alive. Those of us that have been alive when Dr. King was alive, alive when Malcolm X was alive, alive when John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy were alive. And I can tell you something, even at like 1, 2, 3, until the man got killed, talking about President Kennedy, I could feel that there was something, especially the day that he was murdered, that there was something in our country that happened, a seismic shift. At 3 years old, the image in my mind of when Lee Harvey Oswald got assassinated, you know, if you look at it on YouTube or any clips when they back the car up and that's right when Jack Ruby shoots him, I remember that day clearly in my mind because my aunt had the TV on. She used to take care of us during the day when my parents were at work, had the TV on, and they kept running that clip over and over again because you remember it was televised. I was 3 years old. You know when there's history being made. You know when you are a part of history, when you are living to see history. I know that Wayne and my mother have seen it before. Byron have seen it before. These people have been a front line of history, as we all have been. Certain people are there at the front line. Certain people are there in the back of the line. But we're all living history. You hear about John Lewis and C.T. Vivian, but like we talked about the other day, there are soldiers that we have out there that marched right alongside with them, names that you will never know, but when you walk through your neighborhood and you start talking to people, some of the older folks, and asking them what they have seen, just because they never spoke about it doesn't mean they ain't seen it. Let's bring the brothers in. Wayne Gilman, Byron Saunders, your number's up first. Byron and Wayne, I'm going to bring you guys in at the same time. What's up, fellas? Byron, what's happening?
All right.
There we go. Back for another edition of Let's Tell the Truth. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
The pandemic of almost worse than racism and COVID is lying. A government that lies all the time. So, as you know, the death clock is ticking. There were over 1,000 new cases per day, so we're back to that number again. But here's the national numbers in the country today, July 22nd, 2020. There are 4,419,492 infected people. 4,019,492. The national unemployment totals are over 51 million. The new postings won't come out until Thursday, but conspicuously missing over the last 2 weeks have been these numbers because they're trying to water down the package to help stimulate the country, those who don't have. They have given all the money away to most of the companies that don't need it anyway. They don't have enough supplies to engage where these emergencies are spiking all over the South, California. And, yes, the dead in the country are over 145,053 as of today. And that is counting because it takes at least 2 weeks to 10, 12 days for those who are infected to either succumb to the infection or be able to get up and go home. And that's not good because the death toll has yet to spike like the infections, but it's spiking, people. We're looking at close to 200,000 people by September who will have died in this country. New York City is starting to open back up. Phase 4 is about to open up. And right now, New York City, 219,128 people infected, 23,428 dead. And in your nation's capital, where we're supposed to be open to the world, not the Capitol or the White House currently are open for business other than the shenanigans going on in the White House and the no-show GOP who can't seem to find their way to make a vote Oh, yes, but they can come down the steps of the Capitol and verbally accost a Democratic congressperson. What happened to decorum? Oh, yeah, y'all don't know how to spell that anymore. But right in your nation's capital, there are 11,529 people infected and 580 people dead. Now, that's just Washington, D.C. Don't count Virginia. Don't count Maryland. We're talking about just your nation's capital. So please don't come to the nation's capital if you are sick. Keep your butts home. Stay out of the nation's capital. We don't need you here. Wear a mask. Get on board. And stop acting like you're stupid. I'll stop right there. Hey, Wayne, what's happening?
Hey, Wayne, what's your beef? What's your beef, Wayne?
Let me tell you, man, I don't know where to begin behind Byron. You know, I mean, I should just feel the same way because if anything, as close as we become, as the clock ticks towards the November election, you know, it just seems like the heightened hysteria, the confluence of events, the things that are just getting everybody upset have just gone up a notch. The needle has moved, you know, and people are acting crazy. You know, Byron just said that, you know, there are people out there that are stupid. And unfortunately, because of my past, I still hear from time to time from some idiots, some bigots who've managed to find my email or some of the sites that I've been on. And someone today, and I hope the bigoted individual's listening, sent me a list of thoughts to consider. And I'm not going to read all of them, but it starts off, should the pyramids be torn down since they were built by slaves? Which happens to be crap. While we are getting rid of stuff, let's get rid of rap music that promotes violence and hate. Are we the only country dumb enough to start another civil war because we are offended by the first one? If rioters come to your area, please remember, don't be a litter bug. It took Nancy Pelosi 34 years to get offended by those Confederate statues. And again, I could go on and on, but it's the level of ignorance. And I hope the sophomoric asshole, forgive my French, I really try to make a point not to even go in this direction when I'm on the air. But, I mean, I can't think of anybody being so bigoted and stupid and want to get me, you know, get my skin to crawl. Yes, well, you succeeded in that. And you're gonna have me so motivated that, you know, I'm almost at a point where I want to come out of retirement and just really lay it on thick on somebody's ear. But the bottom line is that I am going to come out of my way to make sure that this man does not see another day in the White House. And the way things are going with this private militia and all this other garbage that he's doing to distract, you know, I think at some point it's going to take the United States military, at least the legitimate one, to carry his expletive out of there. And I can't wait for that day to happen. And I'm just sick and tired of crap like this. And yes, you wanted me fired up. He succeeded in doing that. And but I'm going to turn that into kinetic energy and get people out here, young people, to register and vote. We have to go back to the very things you were talking about, Eric, 30 years ago. And just get people out there, no matter who may be the vice presidential pick. You know, we have to look at this as fighting for the American experiment to continue. And they feel threatened. That's all that's going on. So, you know, I concur 1,000%, but I don't know. I know you get this all the time, Eric. Maybe you're more exposed than I am these days. But I was just livid when I saw this on the email.
Yeah, I revel, to be honest with you, in those opportunities to engage these people in debate. Because, in fact, they're so, I'm going to be polite, uninformed and ignorant of the facts. And so it's my honor, I guess it's the lineage that I have, and certainly that part of that lineage has come from the station that you worked at, WLIB, and I watched how so many of you that worked there on a full-time basis, my mom included, but also many of the guests and the leaders of our community would come on and just lay out the facts and destroy all of these myths. I was talking to my Drop Squad partner, Butch Robinson, whose father was a history teacher for about 30 years in here in Jersey and educated generations of people who really loved him. And if you don't know the old adage or what we like to say, a knowledge of self, you're going to allow all of this stuff to get to you. And I understand you get mad. I was on social media earlier today, a friend of mine's account, and they were discussing a statement made by the actor Isaiah Washington about being, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, something about he saved more black people than Harriet Tubman, some ignorance that ignorant kind of Kanye West-ish, and many of these Trump supporters said that. Now, if you know Isaiah, anybody that's aware of him and his exploits, that he put his foot in his mouth, got himself fired off of a hit TV show. I personally met him, and I didn't, let me be polite, I wasn't impressed when I first met him. But, you know, these people and Terry Crews, you know, who is a friend, an acquaintance, I've met him, great guy. And I don't know if the same can be said in Terry's situation. I just think he speaks sometimes out of ignorance from what little I've been able to see. But some people just say things to get a rise, you know. It's a big business to be going the opposite way that everybody else is going. I'll just give you a basic example of when we had the first black president. It was big business for Tavis Smiley and Cornel West to be always criticizing Barack Obama. Got them a lot of attention. So likewise, now it's big business for those few black people that want to come out here and be the house Negro for Donald Trump. And so when you say things just get a rise out of people, you know, maybe Isaiah has something to sell. Maybe there's a new show. Actually, there is a show that I just saw him on, P-Valley, if any of you are interested. That's all I'm going to say about it, because those of you that know, know. But you got to question some actors that want to suddenly have an artist and pop people who want to suddenly be political and woke, because what is behind that? And that's the question, you know, that people ask in my industry, what price are you willing to sell yourself? And if you listen to Dave Chappelle and his experiences, you understand that that's something that is a part of the pitfalls of trying to succeed in the industry. But it's a larger reflection of America as a whole. You have to buy into the whole America myth, how we do things in this country, how things were done. My partner was explaining to me earlier about Frantz Fanon's theory of leisure time. And I'm sure maybe you guys are familiar with it, Byron. I'm sure you're familiar with it, being a historian as you are. And he broke down to me, which I was never aware of, that how, you know, that some individuals that were rich, wealthy, had people working from slave owners, just had time to ponder. So that's how they pondered to develop and decide to come up with the great styles of art, impressionism, and this and that. That's how they had time to ponder, to read these plays, to say, these type of poets are the standard bearers of great literature. So they had time to ponder these things and just basically make up their world. And I've often wondered who deemed Shakespeare the classics, who deemed Walt Whitman, Emily Dickinson, and all these people that they promote on us as being classic poetry, who deemed that? Who decided that? That Amiri Baraka wasn't classic American poetry, for example. So, you know, he broke down that theory to me about, yeah, somewhere there was some Caucasian who decided that we're going to make up this stuff. Or at least that's the theory that that I'm kind of paraphrasing to a certain extent. I don't know if either one of you guys are familiar with that concept or that writing of Frantz Fanon, but I'm certainly going to look into it a little bit more. Wayne, you talked about the confluence of events, right? There does seem to be a confluence of events happening, right? Sending troops to these cities, picking Democratic cities to send his secret police to, you know, waiting this long to really kind of address the pandemic, waiting until it really hitting a government of Republican states. The refusal of the governor of Florida and Georgia to do the right thing and potentially exposing the residents of their states to the virus. And we look now, as you said, Byron, you point out the cases are going up. But if you look at the whole picture and the statistics that the most of the people that are catching the brunt of it are black and brown people, then I have to try and draw some strings, and I got to try to connect the dots. So does that tell me that the governors of Florida and Georgia particularly, because he's actually suing the mayor of Atlanta because she's trying to protect her residents. But what's, you know, you guys know how I feel about the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp. I think he's a Klansman. I'm sure he's got a robe or a card somewhere from boyhood or whatever in his house. But what's his objective? Is his objective to kill off black and brown people? What other conclusion can I come to when you're trying to sue the mayor of a city, which the probably the largest black population in the state, because she puts a mandate in, but you didn't have a problem with other mandates that other mayors put in, including the mayor of your hometown? And if you want to find that out, watch Keisha Lance Bottoms. I don't know if I'm saying the mayor's name, but Mayor Bottoms. Her
That's
interview
her.
a couple of days ago with either one of the women, I guess, on MSNBC, where she said, he's suing me personally, and there are these other cities that did the same thing. So therefore, that tells me there's a bigger objective, like you said, Wayne, a confluence of events. And therefore, like I said the other day, I think that he's going to try to create a precursor where he can say there's too much chaos going on. We can't have an election. Like he said the other day, had the nerve to say he doesn't know if he'll accept the results. It ain't up to you to accept, you know. It ain't up to you to accept. But this is the man we're dealing with. So confluence of events is really interesting. And maybe you guys want to chime in here, your thoughts.
I will only add to that, Eric, that, you know, I mean, the signs are here. I expected, and I'm certain Byron feels the same way, that there would be an October surprise, but I didn't expect it in July. But he's building up. I mean, he is in chaos. The administration is in chaos. And you got to fact check. You got to, you know, every time that he does something, even today's news conference, you know, he lies like a rug. He's trying now to act like as if he's being more presidential by wearing, advocating use of a mask, you know, trying to come up with numbers, you know, statistical numbers that basically have not been validated or verified by the CDC regarding the outcome. He had the nerve to say that yesterday that things will get worse before they get better. Well, it doesn't really require too much education. You know, there's no question that his dementia has not affected him to come out and say something like that, because it's very apparent that we are now the laughingstock of the entire world because we had an opportunity to stop this, but we've gone this far. So my thinking is that, you know, we have a surprise that's going on now, and I'm really concerned about this private militia, and I think to a certain extent that we have to figure out a way legally. Congress and the Democrats cannot afford to sit back there and act like as if this is laissez-faire. You know, this is something that he's entitled to do. There's got to be something to preclude this activity from going on, because, you know, he is laying the groundwork for an authoritarian. He's already done that. But the fact that he would have the audacity and come out and call out the cities and say this is an anti-democratic agenda because we're too liberal or we're too this and we're too that, I just think that is really the height of stupidity, and it just goes into question, you know, his level of thinking, and that he will stop at nothing just to retain the position that he's in for a second term. He doesn't care how many black and brown people die. He doesn't care if he sends out, you know, this goon squad, and even if they go after people who've served in the military, like the Navy fellow who died, you know, taking whiplash in Portland the other day. You know, it's despicable, his behavior. And to me, he should be removed. You know, I mean, and I know that's these are the things that we were grappling with a few months ago during the impeachment, the Robert Mueller hearings and all that. But as I said, he's going to be kicking and screaming after the November election. And, you know, he has a window in which the outcome and January 20th, the inauguration. And those are the months that I'm worried about, you know. I mean, that period, those 2 months right there, you know, that, you know, because I hope that the polls are accurate this time, that they – that, you know, there will definitely be a landslide victory, and that's it. That's all I hope for. But, you know, again, we still have bigots like the one who found my email. And they are telling me, strange how you can watch a televised funeral with hundreds of in attendance after being told you can't go to your own family's funeral or your own family's kids' graduation. Think maybe that may be something being played on the part of you know, and of course, this is the Republican thinking, you know, so like as if we're all not suffering from attending a funeral because of the outbreak of the virus, you know. Does anyone see the irony in the fact that George Floyd's funeral spectacle had a police escort? You know, did it occur to this jerk that Floyd Mayweather paid for the funeral and probably had put in money to allow for police escorts and there be no further violence during that event? Oh, Al Sharpton got $25,000 for speaking. Well, what was he supposed to do? What was he supposed to freaking do? Catch Amtrak to get out there?
Yeah.
Unfreaking believable.
I feel you. I don't want to spend too much time on the rantings of some idiotic racist. Byron, what are your thoughts on some of this stuff?
Oh, well, you know, think about this. You got a congressperson who attacks Ocasio-Cortez on the steps of the Capitol. She's there to do her paid job to vote. There's supposed to be decorum. And that's what we keep hearing from the Republicans. Oh, let's have some decorum. Now, he apologized.
Can you tell us, the rest of us, about this particular incident you're talking about? Because I'm not familiar. So give us some context.
This happened 2 days ago. A congressman from Florida was on his way down the steps of the Capitol. Congresswoman Cortez Ocasio was on her way up to go vote. He verbally assaulted her on her way to vote. It was caught by a reporter. It was seen and reported on. Oh, he denied that he cussed at her, but he did. And he then later, after being outed publicly by the news, went into the well of the Congress today to apologize to her. And she said, "I don't accept your apology." And this is the kind of insanity that we are being confronted with, because we have politicians, and mark this, guys, politicians who declare that what she said was the cause of violence in Baltimore and New York and Chicago is the violence of poverty and people who have no options. Yes, they got guns coming in on the streets of Chicago. Yes, they got guns coming into all these places. But who's making the guns? Where are they getting these guns from? These guns are coming in waves because they're illegally coming across state lines. So who's pushing the guns? Okay? And don't tell me that our African-American brothers and sisters are that steeped into the gun and weapons manufacturing and selling industry. Don't get it twisted. The number one gun merchant in the world is the United States. Not Korea, not China, not the Russian government, not the Italians, not the Germans, but yes, the United States of America. We sell guns to anybody who puts up the money to buy them. So let's get it real. This fascist boots jockeys coming into our cities is illegal. It's not constitutional. States can create their own posses. We don't need a federal government coming in unless it's needed. But to send in unmarked, unnamed individuals under the guise of the federal government, you should have heard General Honoré last night. He went livid on them.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to. We have an insane maniac who is calling the cues and making us feel like, oh, everything is okay, but you know what? 1,000 people a day are dying. That's not okay.
Okay, thanks.
That's right. And you know, what's going to be the consequence? First off, let me just address, because I think that was probably Matt Gaetz, the jerk congressman.
No, it was Ono.
I called him
it was
a jerk.
Not Gaetz. It was Congressman Ono from Florida. Matt Gaetz, and he's got his own insanity. He's from Ohio.
Right.
And then, of course,
Gaetz
Gordon,
is from Florida.
Gaetz is
Matt
from,
Gaetz is from Florida.
Gaetz is from Florida, but he called for
right.
the Cheney, Senator Cheney, Republican, to resign from her, not Senator Congressperson Cheney, to resign her chairmanship and lead the Republican Party because she's standing up against Trump. What kind of
right.
insanity
now,
is that?
Now, who's the congressman? You're saying so the congressperson who attacked her is from Ohio or from Florida? Or is
from
another
Florida.
Congressperson from Florida?
Gaetz, whatever his name is, that jackass. I'm not a follower.
So, yeah,
he's a
Gaetz,
jackass.
So let me just understand.
Yeah.
Gaetz attacked Ocasio. It was Gaetz that
another,
attacked her.
No, it's Ono. Congressman
Ono
from
okay.
Florida
Got
attacked
it.
Ocasio. Congressman Gaetz.
Right, I'm familiar with Gaetz and what he's done. I just wanted to say what they do is that I want to address their attempts to intimidate people, and this is what they do. They want to talk loud and, you know, just like they want to shout at protesters and all that. And we know these are cowards because they only do that when, as we know, as we've seen over history, when they used to come and hang black people, it was never even Stephen or one-on-one. It was always a mob. It was always have you drastically outnumbered because those are the actions of cowards. And the attempts to constantly intimidate and just yell at people, I've always cautioned people, protesters on either side. You don't yell at people in their face if you're trying to make a point. If you're trying to engage them in discussion and debate, that's one thing, and that's great. But when you get to the point where you're yelling and nothing is going back, nothing is being accomplished, certainly when the people that you're engaging or attempting to engage are open for debate, are open for discussion. And so the constant attempts I see to intimidate people, like I said before, sometimes some people just want to fight you because they don't like you. Sometimes you got to come out the house, like you, some old school mamas you say, if you don't go out and fight that bully, I'm going to beat your ass. And you have to go and get it done. Or like Muhammad Ali used to say, we don't get along, so we got to get it on. And, you know, you got to be very upfront with a lot of these people. Either we're going to do this way, or we can do it the peaceful way. But either way, it's going to get done. And you ain't going to – those actions that you're taking, they're going to be met with some sort of reaction. So that's all I'll say about that. I mean, you know, I had an experience in L.A., the 2000 convention, when my uncle was living and they came out there to L.A., they had protesters out there, as people always do at these events. And a lot of them were just yelling at people. And people just walk by. They don't engage the people. I'm one who engages people. You know, I was born in Newark, one of the cities that we get active with ours. So, you know, when I walk by and you want to yell at me, I got to break you down. And unfortunately, the dude that caught it was a young white dude, you know, but I had to run him down and say, listen, man, I said, whatever you're processing about, if you want to talk, we could talk. Don't be yelling at me. I'm a black man in America. There's nothing you could tell me, nothing you could express to me that's going to represent or enlighten me about anything, what goes on in this country. And he backed down and said, oh, well, you know, he was passionate about his stuff, and we worked it out. But I had to shut him down and let him know what time it was because I'm not that type of dude, you know. And maybe that's
James
why.
Baldwin said, I'm not your Negro.
Yeah. I'm like Malcolm said, I'm a field Negro. I'm a pray for your I'm a hope for your house to burn down. You know what I'm saying? A buddy of mine was talking. I was talking to a good friend of mine. We were talking about something. He said, well, I don't want to wish death on anybody. But I was like, I do. I hope that he dies. And I'm not going to say who we're talking about. you know. But listen, if someone is oppressing you and it's life and death, yeah, I hope you get the worst things happen to you in life, because that's what you're inflicting on people. And I don't think God will
be
too mad
happen.
About it. He say that's karma coming around, brother. You
exactly.
know? But let's move
you
on
know,
to
Eric,
something I want to talk. Go ahead.
I just want to wrap this up, because the thing that's really disturbing is to hear the rationale for bringing additional National Guard into a city is about as spurious as you can get it. You ask
sure.
the question. Here's the rationale. These gun killings in Chicago, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, you know, and the truth of the matter is, if you take away a man's dignity, his job,
yes.
his money,
and,
his
and
ability
have, and they're hopeless.
To sustain, that's right, and make him hopeless, he will do desperate things to survive. It's a cause
mm-hmm.
and an effect. Do
mm-hmm.
not get it twisted, people. These random shootings that they so-called are why they want to send in the troops is as a result of desperate men and women. Yes, it's heinous, and it's as ugly as it gets. But do not wash your hands of this, rich people, because you keep telling us you all need to live like us. You live to live like us. We got to have the fine things like us. Well, go ahead and buy those $200 Air Jordan shoes, even though you can't afford it, because you need to look good. Well, you know what? That's the cause of depression. You're asking
mm-hmm.
somebody to be like you, and you take away all their options to get to where you are. You're guilty of making a situation even worse. Because at the end of the day, you go home, wash your hands, and guess what, congressperson who accosted Acosta? The reality is you get a check next week.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't worried. You're not
That's
worried
right.
about
That's...
a damn thing except for yourself. And you don't want to give an extension of unemployment of $600. Oh, yeah, but you got your check, didn't you?
That's
On
right.
my dime, damn it. Not yours.
That's right.
You are being paid by us.
Exactly.
Well,
and
you know, go ahead, Wayne. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to chime in and say that, you know, it's so unfortunate that, you know, and I have to admit, when I first heard the story last night about the shooting in Chicago, I was astounded that, you know, it was a drive-by and that there were women who are coming out of this funeral parlor, and they were strapped, and they were firing back at those who were involved in it. You know, we have to stop this. You know, we have to learn. And I shared with something.
Yeah,
hold on, Eric.
Let me just. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, man. But, and we do need to stop it. It's ridiculous. But, you know, it, like we're saying, it's a response to that. We need to get smarter about that. The first thing I thought about when I heard that, the story this evening on NBC News, and the guy said, in Chicago, there's 117,000 gang members. You know what I thought? That's a lot of soldiers.
That's
if you
right.
get those
yeah.
minds
and
right.
And you know what? And
you
right.
get those
Eric,
minds right.
They came
and you
together,
get the brothers thinking right.
They came
right.
together 2 weeks ago and stood behind the mayor of Chicago and said, we're burying our differences. They did the same thing in Atlanta. But you didn't read that story because it wasn't
no,
the
didn't.
Headline news.
Well,
gang,
there is another issue. But I will say that a lot of these people are getting guns through organized groups that don't look like us, and they're
yes.
doing
that's
to
right.
destroy our communities. You
that's
know?
Right.
Same thing here in New York.
And would we be surprised at all if we found out that there was an influx of guns shortly before this is going on? I spoke to a sister that was from Chicago a couple of years ago at a film festival, and I guess the topic must have been some stuff that was going on in other cities. The Tate brothers were there. They're Chicago natives, Lorenz Tate and his brothers. And this sister was like, yeah, sometimes there's just like a train will pull up, and out of one of the freight cars, there'll be a whole bunch of guns that become available that someone is selling to the various people that might want guns to do a myriad of things. So there's people that's putting the, you know, like you said, Wayne, they're bringing these weapons into the community, certainly. And if they're not, and another way they're coming into community is people driving out of the community to these gun fairs and these gun markets or whatever, where they're reselling that, where, you know, those loopholes where the Democrats tried to write some laws to cancel out those loopholes. And if we all remember, it was the Republicans that tried to block all of those stuffs about the waiting period and the background checks that people should have to do. Unbelievable. There's no consequence. Byron, you were talking about what's the consequence. And the bottom line, people are suing, the Board of Ed or the Teachers Union in Florida is suing Governor Rick DeSantis because they could potentially expose them to health risks and death because of the pandemic. But here's the thing. The consequence is not going to come back on him. They're going to sue the office of governor. They'll fight it in court, yada, yada. It'll all go down, and there will be no real consequence for him to pay. Right? Just like these cops, that the ones that are bad that kill people, there's no real consequence after it's all said and done. You know, very few like this, like the murderer in Minnesota, go to jail, which I see that he's, what I was reading the other day, that he's receiving a little bit of preferential treatment where they won't let the black correction guards guard him. And it was, you know, I read also where a white correction female officer let him use her cell phone. So the insidiousness of the racism, there's no consequence. And the consequence that he's that are happening to him and someone like Dylann Roof, who the cops stopped to take the Burger King when they finally picked him up, that's how they treat each other, what the consequence is. So there needs to be some consequences, like Eddie Murphy said in the movie Life, consequences and repercussions for cats eating our cornbread. You know, there needs to be some consequences and repercussions. I want to move to something that's going to rattle up a lot of people. But what do about the VP pick of president, right?
Oh, boy.
So there's the demand that it be a black woman. Now, I've said I think that should be the process, too. But also we have to be flexible, right? And I've pondered, would the slam dunk team be Biden Cuomo? Or would the slam dunk be Stacey Abrams or any one of the other sisters or women in the thing? And it's a gender thing, and I understand, and other sisters would be mad or whatever, you know, but I'm just wondering, because I want the closest thing to a sure thing that we could win this election, because this guy is trying to take over the country, trying to set us back really far. So, you know, I think that I believe that if we do the work, you know, that we can win with a female and a black woman being VP president, VP candidate. But there's a lot of other things that need to come into play, right? That means everybody's got to come out 100% and participate, right? We have to be aware and know that they're going to try and cheat and nullify as many mailing votes as possible, because that's what Trump is already trying to do. He's already trying to poison the electorate, at least his voters, to the notion of mail-in balloting, even though they probably all, a majority of them, do mail-in voting already. They'll find some way to let him hypnotize them to suggest that mail-in balloting, mailing voting is bad. But I'm saying, you know, all of these things that they're going to stack and try, I'm just wondering what you guys think about that. So I know that's going to be a heated discussion, but it's something that we need to consider. Because like I said, we need to think of 30-year plans. If we get Joe in there for four, he's probably not going to do a re-term. Get someone like Cuomo in there who can get elected and re-elected. He picks the sister to be VP. She goes on to run for president. We support her. We get 10, we get maybe 8, 12, 16, if we're lucky, of the presidency, where we can really affect an agenda for the next generation to come. What do you guys think about me trying to rock?
Well, history says the only way this is going to change is to be dramatic, okay? And ultimately, the one place that I think, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we can hear you, brother. Don't start acting like that
now.
We can hear you.
I know y'all got real silent. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, well,
okay, but
this is a seminal moment.
Well, see, let's break this down based on the qualifications of those who are probably best suited. Of the four African-American women, probably the best suited is Susan Rice. Why? She's national security specialist. And if you're going to break down what I heard from the Joe Biden the other day with his plan to redress and address the hacks from Russia and all the other things that are engaging China and Iraq and Iran, you need a specialist who can handle, like Biden was to Obama, someone who's going to have the nuts and the real guts to speak power and truth. And she's there. I'm not sure. I think she's the one I want to go with, but I'm then going to break it down with, okay, we got Stacey Abrams, very qualified, but her issue is going to be from the GOP, they will slice and dice her as to being too black. Okay. She's very dark-skinned. And, of course, that's going to rile up the racists who don't want that kind of, oh, I'm going to go deep on you next. Because when you talk about Kamala Harris, do you really want to reengage that racism that attacks her husband for being white? We don't need that, people. Kamala would be an excellent attorney general because she's going to have to go up into that Justice Department and really clean house. And she's formerly
you're offending the West Indians, man.
You know what I'm talking about, man. Okay? So you come back to the sister from Florida, very qualified, former police chief. You know, I like her. But you need foot soldiers in both the Senate and the Congress. And if you strip those women away from their current duties, you reduce the effectiveness they've already gained in power in seniority. We're talking about power now, people. It's not a show. It's not a win, place, or show pony time. This has got to be an administration who goes in and on day one cleans and flushes the cesspool of everything in government from A to Z. And that's what's necessary. If it's just going to be a black person, let's not get confused on color issues. We're talking about power now. That's my current thinking, that's why I went with the safe zone, because Susan Rice, you got to give her credit. He's going to have some national security inside stuff.
What do you think, Wayne? You want to put your foot in it?
Yeah, I know I shouldn't have been stepping on it, but, you know, when I heard certain things out of Byron, I understand.
No, go ahead.
What's your
opinion?
Yeah. But my thinking is, and I see where you're coming from, Eric, there's something about them Cuomos, you know, it's like, and he's already said this publicly, that he had no interest in seeking the Oval Office, you know, the father said that, I don't know. I'm disappointed in one sense because I think we need someone like that in a leadership because he's already shown his leadership with what he's doing. And I think there's a lot of support from coast to coast that if he were to run, you know, there's a possibility. But right now I'm sticking by Joe. He says the right things. He says he wants the administration to look like how this country has become. And I'm in lockstep with that. The only difference is, contrary to what Byron was saying, I see Rice as Secretary of State. I see Stacey Abrams in the State House in Georgia. Val Demings, great talent, great for law enforcement. You know, I don't know if I would like to see her in a far more formidable role other than, you know, what she's doing now, and she's an elective office. So maybe there might be something with respect to law enforcement, maybe not attorney general, but, you know, I guess it'll be between that and Kamala Harris. Kamala was going to be my pick for his running mate. But, you know, again, we have to, there may be some of us who may have an issue with the husband thing is Byron sided. But I also think that maybe that might be the glue to get those who may feel, well, you know, the others are too pro-black, you know, that they don't understand, like the idiot that sent me this freaking email that still has me riled up. You know, they don't think with clarity. They don't see that, you know, everyone's life matters if we're saying Black Lives Matter. But this is a whole nother, I don't mean to be so discursive, but my pick is Kamala Harris for now.
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, talking about how people think, that's just how they think. So it's to try and think you're going to...
Well, you get more of this. I hadn't gotten this in a while. And
right,
you know,
right. I don't know whether I get it. I mean, obviously we got somebody trying to come at us a little bit, but, you know, I'm not worried about none of that. So you're never going to convince the racists not to be racist. That's just what they do, and the lunacy of their hatred. You know, these are people who hate black people, but then they turn on the football game or the college football game, and teams are majority black, and they're cheering for them. So, you know, I don't know. I guess they separate the two. But then when they start kneeling, their heads explode. But then they'll turn the game off, and they'll probably turn it back on a little while later. But getting to the original subject, the VPs, I only said that because, and I was not a Barack, down with Barack Obama in the beginning. I myself, like John Lewis, I was loyal to the Clintons. And also,
right,
I didn't really have that much faith in America that we were prepared to, that this country was willing to vote for a black president. My dad says, you know, he felt it, he was for him. But it took me a minute to come around, and I was like, the hell with it. The brother's going to go for a power move, I'm with him. And I'm with the sisters, too. It's just that my perspective is that I don't trust this country. I don't believe that there's the goodwill. I no longer believe in the goodwill of everybody in America or the goodwill of the American system and all that. I've been shown that there is not goodwill there towards people like us. So I don't believe in the systems and the forms of government and one vote and all that. I wait to see if it works. So everything to me is a wait-and-see attitude now. And so in that, I want to get as close to a sure thing as possible. That's the only reason I mentioned Andrew Cuomo. And I also know for a fact, from my experience and living over the years I've lived and watched it, that for lack of a better thing, elections are a popularity contest because the majority of people aren't really paying attention to the facts. They're ignorant of the facts. And they really, you know, a lot of people, you know, or some people don't have time to focus as much. And so it ends up becoming a popularity contest. You know, Barack got down, and after a minute it became part of the culture. If you wanted to be hip, you were going to be down to vote for Obama, just like now. Some people, I believe, are saying Black Lives Matter to be part of the, you know, I want to be hip.
To be hip.
I want to be like everybody else. Never believed it before. Never thought about what those statues before, like your guy that says he brought up a point. Nancy Pelosi never had a problem with those statues before. Now, I don't know whether she did or didn't, but it's certainly a point to realize, yeah. I went down to South Carolina or Georgia when I saw the Confederate flag. I'm like, what's up with this? You know, being a northern guy, you know, no, I'm not used to seeing being where I'm from and experience my life experience that I had. No, I'm not used to just blatant racism. I mean, a couple times in high school and growing up, but once I became man age, all that was put to an end. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
So the tolerance of it and the enabling of it to me is something that is unacceptable. And so, you know, when some of these people point out, yeah, so and so didn't have a problem, so you're talking about it now. I agree. Now I disagree. I'm getting off on the subject, but I disagree with her taking down what's-his-face Jackson or whoever from the Hall of Presidents. It just should be under his plaque. If you want to make us, he was a racist, as they all were, you know. And talking about Donald Trump, I disagree with Joe Biden saying that Donald Trump is the first racist who got elected president, because we know that pretty much just about all of them were racist for the most part, and pretty much all of them used the N-word at one point in their life. Probably even Barack, but I'm sure he used the A pronunciation as opposed to the ER. Kind of joking
right.
a little bit for those of you that are talking. But,
yeah.
So,
wait a minute, hold on. The president was speaking Ebonically? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. That's a travesty. Doggone it. But you know, and I agree with you, Byron, about Stacey. I think that the racists will really come out with the color issue, that those that are going to have, you know, an issue with her physicality, right? But she is sharp as I would be down with her.
Oh,
just like I said, I want to be closest to a sure thing. And also, too, when you spoke about Susan Rice, a lot of people don't realize in government, as in any, and for some reason, they make the disconnect. But when you hire someone to do a job, you want to know that they had the experience in doing the job before. Or a similar job, right? So when you talk about making a woman who was already Secretary of State at one point, because she was after Hillary and stuff, and talk about making her the vice presidential candidate, that makes pretty good damn sense. That the woman who served in the previous administration that knows the workings of government, this is why when people want to talk about elect somebody else in there, some people, there is a structure in place. There is a protocol in place, as there is in any other profession or job. So hiring somebody who has done the job before effectively, efficiently, and in the best manner possible is not only smart, it's required in some cases. So the fact that we were talking about putting Susan Rice in as a vice presidential candidate is something that's pretty doggone smart, especially since she was Secretary of State. You know, I'm sorry.
And I'd forgotten about that. I mean, I knew she had a significant role within the government, but of course, you know, she had stepped down. I mean, after Clinton had stepped down, I'd forgotten about that. But, you know, I see her like the Condoleezza Rice of the Democrats. You know, she's worldly.
You see, guys, one of the things that's important is that when they go in on that first day of the new administration, we don't have time to play on the job training. We don't.
That's right.
Yeah.
This country is near the abyss of failure. It's going to take a while to get through this. I mean, and if you're considering, by the time we get to the election, those unemployment rolls are not going to shrink. You heard this jackass today talking about, it's going to be many jobs coming back. Where? There ain't many jobs right now. So, you know, all that bluster about, it's going to go away, it's going to be real great again, you know what? That's some bulldog stuff, okay?
I'd like to think it will get great when he's gone. You know, but
right.
I don't like to hear him say on a regular basis, forgive me, I've done more for black people and brown people than any other president.
He's a liar.
Today he
of
said
course
that again.
He's a liar. I mean, that stuff goes, I'm like, you're a friggin' liar. He's just a liar. And this is the main thing. And as we go out, we've got a minute 30. But, you know, the fact that people are willing to look past someone who's proven to be a liar and then willing to believe him again is the lunacy of hatred. There it is. You guys want to give, what do you want to say, Byron? Give the people your send off because we got to get out of here.
I want to say peace and love always. And like in the opening of Pearly, send old Captain Cachapee back to the grave that he was born from. Y'all know what I'm talking about if you know what Pearly is all about. Peace and love always.
Took it back to Pearly victorious. All right, brother, we'll talk to you soon. Wayne, tell the people what you're feeling.
Hey, he's jogging my memory. I knew both stars. But I just want to say to the idiot that sent me, talking about pyramids, same way the Germans don't have Hitler's face standing up anywhere around that country, only his headstone where he was born. It's the same thing here. Identify with that.
There it is, Wayne. Thank you, brother. Talk to you again. This is thanks, everybody. All right. Thank you guys for listening. If you're listening, if you're not, then you're not hearing my voice. But this has been Kay's Son and Friends. I'm Eric Payne, Citizen Payne, and some other platforms. And those are my brothers. Byron Saunders, a legendary historian. Wayne Gilman, the very legendary newsman. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again. K Thompson Live. Love you, Ma. Never give up. Never give in.